Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, this is the Golf Club, and I wish you were in the house. You've got to come to Hawaii. I mean, we've got to have a conversation. It'd be so much fun to talk with you, but I've got somebody fun to talk with. Jeff Shackelford, independent voice in golf. Quadrilateral is his newsletter. You really have to get it. Senior writer with Golf Week. He was contributor, Golf Channel, author and writer. You know, Jeff is unyielding in his disdain for mainstream media, but you know, I can't wait to read this to you. First, we have to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii, quality cameras to capture the memories, now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
Jeff Shackelford, Quadrilateral is his newsletter, author and writer. He's got The Future of Golf, How Golf Lost Its Way and How to Get It Back. Boy, we need to read that. Grounds for Golf, The History and Fundamentals of Golf Course Design, Alistair McKenzie's Cypress Point Club, The Golden Age of Golf Design, The Good Doctor Returns. That one's a novel. And his most recent book is Golf Architecture for Normal People. And I think this book is more for, you know, not necessarily you learning about how golf architecture is put together. I think it's to teach us how to play on a golf course with this particular type of golf architecture we may encounter. But Jeff Shackelford's in the house. Hey, Jeff.
Danielle, good morning.
Good morning. So the book that you just released, the one about golf architecture for normal people, what was your reason for writing this?
Yeah, it was a couple things. I mean, you mentioned the part about wanting to help you play a little bit better, which was actually not the original idea, but was the publisher's idea, and I ended up being really proud of those chapters, because in part, you know, things have changed a little bit with technology that you can do some scouting. There's ways you can improve your game if you know how to read the course and what things to look for. But the main reason was to really take advantage of this moment where people are starting to finally be interested in golf architecture more, which was something I had hoped to do with other books. And it's an exciting time, and so I wanted, but it's also gotten a little bit snobby, a little bit weird sometimes the way people talk about course design. I guess like anything else, like wine or movies, you know, you love that there are people who want to hold the standards high, but you also have a snob factor there that turns people off. So I think that, you know, there's three basic questions you can ask of that will tell you a lot about a course, why you like it, why you don't like it, why you want to play it again, why you never want to see it ever again, things like that. And those things speak to the things that really are the timeless elements of course design. So it was sort of a backdoor way to share some of that as well. And I just think it's such a fascinating form of art, really. It's the only art form that you can enjoy from the distance and look at and look at photos and wonder and dream about, but then you actually get to step into the painting, into the artwork, and experience it. And so that's why I love it, and why I love that more people are interested in the topic and just trying to make it a more fun topic to approach.
I love what you just said, step into the artwork. I mean, we see photos, we see paintings, we see all this, and it looks so romantic, and it looks so, and then for you to be able to actually step onto it. And that's what we get to do in golf, right? We get to go to these places that have held our imagination, and we just feel, and then when you get there, you realize it feels exactly the way you thought it would feel. And it's a wonderful, and I'm thinking a lot about some of the British courses and some of the courses that were designed based on the way they were designed in England or in Europe. So it's a wonderful topic, and I appreciate what you've done with that. But now I'm going to just jump right into the politics of the game. And this is from Jeff Shackelford's newsletter. Okay. And that's what I say. You got to get it. Okay. You just, I watched golf last weekend, so you didn't have to. Admittedly, the Derby and Shohei's exploits proved infinitely more compelling. Then again, reverse turtle raises at the local pub would be far more compelling than the product peddled by the supposed game growers. You have to feel for the Salesmanship Club of Dallas. They've annually put on one of the great examples of a golf tournament giving back millions to the community, only to be consistently on by the PGA Tour, with longtime sponsor AT&T having said enough is enough to a very tough date. No Four Seasons on site. And after players point miss Trinity Forest, Lord Nelson's event has become a glorified minor league stop on a track devoid of verve, vibe, or this year, viable turf. So let's get to what matters most. A possible rival to Scottie Scheffler at the upcoming PGA Championship, which I couldn't agree with you more. However, I'd like to go back and talk a little bit about the product, the PGA Tour product. There was a time, I mean, okay, let's go back, Tiger Woods. And I'm using that because there was excitement. They were putting on a show. You know, you were there. You felt like you were a part of it, even though you were sitting in your television thousands of miles away. You were engaged. I don't feel that anymore. And I don't know if the golfers who are now professionals on the course realize that we're not watching to watch them go out and make $2 million. We're watching to feel the excitement of being on the golf course with them. And none of them are producing that drama. It seems like they've become, you know, little monotones. And I don't mean that personally. You know, it's just, guys, step it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying, Jeff?
Well, it's a multi-layered issue that's been building. As you read my biography, I wrote a book about the future of golf and a lot of these issues. It's now 20 years old and or almost 20. It's 19. And it's been brewing for a while, and there's no one thing that you can fix. But to your point, I guess I'll start with the personality of the game. And obviously it's kind of been this way a while. Tiger and Phil probably helped mask it on the men's side by being legends that were watching, and they played a certain way that was different and exciting. But the way the game's played with the modern power game is really pretty dull. And we've been told that it was exciting. And the problem is when everybody hits it a long way, suddenly those holes where they take the big chances, there aren't many of them. And when they do, everybody can do it. So it loses a little luster. Every sport that's pursued a power game, Danielle, has regretted it. It's kind of, it's exciting initially, but then there's all sorts of problems that come with it, whether it's, baseball and steroids or I don't know. Basketball's totally come to grips with just throwing up three pointers from everywhere, but I think there are times where they do, and you know, on and on. Tennis, of course, was just destroyed by serve and aces and nothing else. And so that's an equipment issue that's kind of out of the players' hands. But the problem is that kind of game breeds a sort of a different kind of personality and not necessarily an attractive one. And then it gets into messing with great venues. You don't get to go to as many great venues and on and on. So there are a lot of issues on that front. And then I guess the other problem that's hard to address, besides all the talk of money and all the horrible plight for these people, but is the it's just there's too much, and golf has been unable to give itself an off season, and it never really has. But it just there's more coverage now on television, and so ultimately the problem is you just have a kind of an oversaturated, and I hate to use the word product, but it is a product, and nobody seems to want to address that part as well. So it may get addressed simply by running off sponsors and tournaments dying, which would be a shame because when the tour comes to a lot of these cities, like I wrote in that piece about Dallas, that used to be a big, big deal in Dallas. And it's just kind of gradually been chipped away at.
And that's a shame. You know, I mean, it took a while to work up to making it big, you know, making it.
Of course.
Yeah. And now we're just like cutting the legs out from underneath everybody. And it's painful. It's almost painful to watch. I sit there and I can do 14 different things and kind of listen to the announcer just to hear, oh, really? Let me see. Okay. No. Yeah. love the game.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too, is we've changed our viewing habits. So like I said, there's so much of it now. You know, golf used to not really be on until the weekend, and then when it came on, you were excited. And now there's so many hours of early coverage and streams and different things. And so once the leaders come on and you're watching the final round of something, there's not quite as much of that excitement factor. And I'm not sure what the solution is to that. That's just the change in the way things are. But it's not a bad thing, Danielle, that you're doing things around the house. And, you know, golf is a background sport like baseball. And, you know, I think that's the other problem is it thinks that it should be designed for us to just sit down and be glued in front of the TV. And that's some sports, but that's not golf. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But now it's not even a nice thing to have on in the background either. Either the announcers wear you out. Telling you how great everybody is, and it just gets old, or it's just it's just not as nice to have as a thing to have on for whatever reason. Yeah. That could be any number of factors.
Well, yeah, okay, you know, it's a learning curve.
I don't think you're buying that one.
No, but. It's a learning curve. This whole, I'm satisfied with the response, I understand it, and we're in that place where it's like golf goes waves, you know. Oh my God, we've got to do something. Let's grow the game, you know, and that worked and got everybody into the game. Everybody's kids are in the game. Everybody's families are doing it, and it's perfect because it's so good for children. It is so good for kids. They learn so much that you can't teach them because they won't listen to you. As parents. But you put them with a little group of kids, and then you're one person saying, you know, now, you know, that's why that wasn't very polite. No, this is how we do it. This is because it's a polite. And you teach them all that stuff, and it's wonderful. All right. Off the that one, and now let's go over to the Scottie Scheffler. And I, you know, we really do need a rival to Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he can't be blowing everybody out. Although, you know, why not? That's exciting too. But what you brought up is Brooks Koepka, and I love how you said Brooks Koepka appears to have flipped that amazing switch where he miraculously goes from full boredom mode to sensing another major within reach. Tell us about Brooks.
Well, it's just unusual to have a player who is not very good when there's a lot of money on the line and it's week to week, whatever, and then there's history on the line and he rises to the occasion, and we just don't see that very often on the men's or the women's game, where somebody is just so different from regular events to majors. Usually it's the other way around, and there's a choke factor or something, or a trying too hard factor, and he goes the other way, and he's been pretty dreadful most of the year by his own admission. The Masters, he wasn't able to rekindle what he did the year prior for whatever reason. Of course, this year is a tricky one to read because there was so much wind. And it's just hard to look at a lot of the numbers this year and not realize how difficult it was with the play stoppage and a restart Friday morning and then just crazy winds Friday afternoon. So, last week he plays well and wins the live event and he's ready to go for Valhalla, which should be a good golf course for him. I don't know what course when he's on is a bad course. He's also just able to play a lot of different courses and even Lynx golf where his record's not as great, but he's had a few moments and he likes it. So there's always going to be a chance for him at an Open Championship, I think, if he stays healthy. So yeah, we need a rival to Scheffler. I think what he's doing, of course, is amazing, but it's not as thrilling as, say, when Tiger did it for whatever reason. I think he kind of, the way he plays, it looks joyless, to be honest. Yes. Even though he really loves what he does and he's actually a pretty creative player, it just doesn't look like much fun. And he looks kind of miserable and he barks at his caddy and then all of a sudden it's a 68 with, he hit 15 greens and, you know, there you go. So, but he also has shown he can do it the days when he's not hitting it as great. He can get up and down and to a golfer, that's beautiful to watch. It's just that he just doesn't exude a certain kind of, fun, passion, energy, whatever you want to call it, that, other players have had.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about Valhalla. It's produced great finishes. I mean, just unbelievable, really. Three playoffs, if you include the senior PGAs it's had. It's had two of those and three PGA championships. And the other two that weren't in a playoff were decided by a shot. So it's a course that rewards just good play. And it's a place where there's great energy. Louisville fans are fantastic, and the course has all these amphitheaters and then a par five finish where just wacky things happen. So it's not my style of design. It's a little overbuilt, I think, but I love going to a place where it produces excitement, and that's why I'm excited for the second major of the year.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And now, in another one of your newsletters, you wrote on Tuesday, several players from LIV received invites to next week's PGA Championship, based largely on admirable efforts to score ranking points via their scores outside of Saudi Arabia's tacky upstart league. Have you put enough into that one sentence?
Actually, you left out. I think I got in a Studio 54 reference in there, yeah, too, somewhere.
You did.
I had to take a jab at the music playing in the background. But go on.
So what do you think of the LIV guys getting invites by the PGA Tour, so to speak?
I thought most of them were justified. I had two problems with it. One, I don't think Taylor Gooch deserved it because he just made no effort to play outside of LIV, and he's made clear he has no intention to make any effort to qualify for the U.S. Open or the Open Championship, whereas 35 LIV guys are entered in U.S. Open qualifying out of whatever it is, 54 or 53 or whatever their number. There's a floating number where they have some alternates and stuff. But I think that says a lot. I think the golf world really agreed that people like Joaquin Niemann,
yep,
Louis Oosthuizen, Dean Burmester, who went and played, and obviously the South Africans wanted to go to South Africa, but again, good for them. They went and they played. David Puig, I'm not sure which pronunciation it is this week, but he is a fine young player, and he went and has played some great golf outside of LIV. And so I think it's nice that they rewarded that and rewarded players showing that. And the only other thing that I found negative, Louis Oosthuizen received one. Well, he got the call Monday, Danielle, and, you know, Taylor Gooch got it too on Monday, and I think a few others, and they accepted. Louis did not. He had made family plans, and we know Louis's kind of a guy who enjoys being at home and being on his tractor and being with his family, and I don't blame him one bit. I know, you know, he won two DP World Tour events in December. and why they waited that late to issue the invitation. And there was just a lot of just a lack of explanation as to why people were. I mean, we just got a list of the fields. We didn't even get qualifications, and so that was just kind of weird. And the PGA really needs to be better than that. But I think it makes the tournament better. And but boy, it really is kind of also a validation for LIV and a real blow for the PGA Tour that one of the majors is just basically saying, well, with Taylor Gooch's exemption, we're recognizing that he's played really well in LIV golf. And so that's in their little family tussle of five families of golf, that's a bold move, and I'm sure it will lead to some interesting conversations behind closed doors next week when all those people get together and do whatever they do when they sit around and meet.
Yes, whatever they do. I mean, we're supposed to get all like glued to the what's next with the PGA Tour and the PIF. You know, I mean, I always call the PIF because they're the money behind LIV Golf.
Sure.
LIV Golf, yeah, right. It's like LIV Golf is just a group of people like the PGA Tour, but people behind it who make the money, and all the money that's being funneled to the PGA Tour to fight LIV is outrageous. Billions of dollars. You know, I mean, people throw that around. I don't know if it's billions. But it's a lot of money to keep them afloat. The PGA Tour, keep them afloat. So then there's more Rory McIlroy. He's playing today. I think he's not the guy that we used to see. And I think all of this being on the board, right? The PGA Tour policy board. And then they don't want him back. He said he'd go back, and then they say, no, thank you very much. We don't want you back.
It's like, yeah.
What is happening?
It's a lot of first world drama, that's for sure. And it's bad for all of them, you know. It was very easy to predict this would be the case, that it would be bad for golf games. But I think what is shocking is just how little idea they seem to all have as to how to deal with some of the issues. They appear to be more disorganized than anybody could ever fathom.
Yeah.
It's just totally embarrassing and bizarre. And everything I hear is they're just nowhere near having a concept of what needs to be done. And so it's a shame, but you know, Danielle, I only cover the majors now for a reason, because I'm tired of all that. I was tired of that stuff before this all went down, and now it's just it's just so strange and embarrassing and weird, and so I can't say that I feel like it hurt Rory's game as much as you think it has.
Okay.
You may end up being right, but I do think that he's played. I had a Q&A with him in my newsletter here to get ready for Valhalla. He has played some amazing golf during some of this turmoil. This year, not so much, but he's not that far off either. Whereas Jordan Spieth, for instance, who's also involved in all this, he seems to be lost. And why he's doing this in his prime is just completely beyond me. It's stupid, and I'll just leave it at that. And he has got a window here. And he needs to take advantage of that and let other people do this off-course business stuff, because it's a waste of his precious time, in my view.
Yeah, agreed.
Rory might enjoy it for all I know. You know, Rory has shown he might even play better when he's doing this stuff. So who knows? But Jordan, terrible, terrible move, in my view.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And the thing, you know, Rory was such a class act because, of course, when he was in – you know, the room, the interview room, they asked him, of course, you know, what do you feel? How do you feel about being told they don't want you back, even though you offered to come back? It's like, yeah. How do I feel about that? Well, I'm not taking it personally. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, they've got somebody else in mind. And it was so cool the way he handled that. Such a cool, but I guess they don't like the fact that he wants to compromise. I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, seriously?
Yeah. That does appear to be the problem. It does. And so, and what's ironic in all this is that that no, there's no guarantee any of these solutions or dreams they all have will lead to a positive outcome. I think the damage that's been done is going to take a long time to undo, and so you know, everybody's just begging for a deal and a deal and a deal. Well, that we just don't know if that's going to end up being something that makes what the beauty is of the PGA Tour at its best come back, which is a sponsor, a charity, fans, players, everybody winning. And I just don't think they have the group of people right now to understand that. They have a very different mindset, and it shocks me, really, frankly, when you know what a great model it is. But you know, Danielle, I've talked about this with you for years. Golf has a little bit of an inferiority thing, and it thinks it should be bigger than it is, and it's just not happy to just be a great niche sport and a very robust one with a great recreational following and great people in the world of sports and business and so on and so forth. Loving the game. It's for whatever reason, it can't be content with that.
That's
weird.
Yeah, and it's a shame. All right, Jeff Shackelford, independent voice in golf. Now, how do we get your newsletter?
Just go on the Google machine, and I'm a Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F, and type Jeff in golf, and it'll come up. The Quadrilateral is the name of it, and I cover the majors, the women's majors, and some of the cup events, and I'm having a blast doing it. I got a Q&A tomorrow with Mark Brooks and a Q&A on Monday with Jack Nicklaus. So a lot of Q&As right now.
Awesome.
But, don't worry, I'll be ranting and raving too from Valhalla.
Thanks for taking time and being in the clubhouse with us. It's really fun talking with you all the time.
As always, thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got Michael Patrick Shields, host Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire. Have you gotten kind of burned out on the whole golf thing? Well, Michael Patrick Shields has found a way to get back into the love of the game. He stumbled across a way to enjoy golf again, as he put it. We'll be back with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
It's Aloha Power's Riding Mower Blowout Sale. Tired of limping along with your old box store riding mower? Well, now's the time to upgrade to a quality rider at Aloha Power's Riding Mower Blowout Sale. We have 35 models in stock at the lowest prices of the year. We have service, parts, and accessories for every rider we sell. Trade-ins, welcome. From home to commercial size, you know, those really big ones you see, like the harvesters. Mow it, blow it, bag it. Let your equipment do that work. Faster, smarter. Get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile. That's right next to the Costco gas station. And in Waipahu, you're going down Farrington Highway. Look on the Mackay side of the road. Right when you get to Waipahu Depot Road, there they are. Aloha Power Equipment. Tell them Danielle sent you.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
The golf club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
You know, that's actually happened. That has actually happened. Michael Patrick Shields, host Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Mow it, blow it, bag it.
Yep.
New mantra for me.
You know what? I've known you for a long time. Okay, we've been on the radio together for a long time, right? I did not know that you were at one time a television producer for the PGA Tour.
What?
Yes!
Wow, yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, I worked on staff at PGA Tour, and I was at PGA Tour Productions. And we made a TV show every week. We went around to different tournaments, and that was my deal. I was right there at Sawgrass, and it was pretty cool because if you worked for the tour, you had a membership at TPC Sawgrass, which was probably the reason I took the job.
And you were a golf writer, so you spent a whole lot of time in the game.
Oh, I sure did. I loved every second of it. And even though Hawaii was such a big part of it, because growing up in frigid Michigan, you'd get, you know, I remember you would get golf clubs or golf balls or a glove or something for Christmas, and you'd look out the window if you could scrape the ice off it and say, one day I'll be able to use this stuff. And the only fix you could get, because kids, there was no internet, nothing was on demand. You turned on NBC or CBS, and there wasn't even ESPN then, and you watched 2.5 hours of golf coverage on Saturday and Sunday, dreaming you were in Hawaii for the Tournament of Champions or the Sony Open, and it was green and blue and colorful and warm, and then the color would go off, and there you were.
Back in
white.
So
I was fascinated with golf and television coverage and broadcasters, of course, and found a way to dive into it.
Wow. All right. Well, you dove into it so deep that you got tired of playing golf.
Which sounds like a spoiled brat thing to say, but I have spent a lot of time, you know, being around broadcasters, covering tournaments, playing golf. I never was into equipment, but I was into the destinations, and I found myself going to places all over the world and being more fascinated by the places than the actual golf. And so that's why I became a general travel writer after covering the PGA Tour for PGAtour.com and all kinds of publications and golf columns and whatnot. And yeah, so, you know, when I recently, I was like, 6 hours, 5 hours. I'd get to about the sixth hole, and I'd be like, hey, when is this going to be over? And particularly in beautiful places like Hawaii, where you could go snorkeling or sailing or, you know, have a Mai Tai and just live it up. But yeah, so I was become very choosy about who and when I played with. I liked being around it. I loved going to St. Andrews or going to tournament venues or even just walking around a golf course or having a look at it. Nothing against it. It's just I did so much of it that I was afraid to devote time to it like that.
Yeah, well, when you talk, you know, in this wonderful column you wrote about, you know, finding a way back into the game, and the fact that you said, I'm not sure I broke 100 on any of those courses, and then you know, of course, earlier you named Old Course at St. Andrews. He's played there. Ballybunion, Ireland, Pebble Beach, Pinehurst, TPC Sawgrass, Augusta National. Did you play Augusta National?
No, and I don't aspire to because I think I would be too nervous the whole time. I loved going to the tournament.
Yes.
But just as I loved going to the, you know, it was a dream come true to go to the Hawaiian course, too, on
sure.
the big island there, all the ones I saw on television and Maui. And, that, you know, it was just it was like a dream.
So you know, all of this, you, kind of the burnout factor on the 18 holes and slogging it through. So how did you get back into the game? What got you back in?
Ironically, I wrote about this at GoWorldTravel.com. The way that I got back in recently is the way that I started. When I was a kid, my parents would drop me off at a par 3 golf course called Southgate. And there was one called Sultana. And it was the kind of place you could leave your kid for the day because they would just play hole after hole after hole. And then, you know, we would go into the clubhouse. It was a municipal. So, you know, it was a clubhouse restaurant, and we'd sit down at the table like we were adults, you know, and order some French fries and a Coke and feel like we were at the Augusta National when we were doing that. Loved it. And so now as an adult, you might say, oh, par three, you might like turn your nose up at it. But I've discovered that I'm having a hell of a fun time playing par three courses now. And I see that the industry is starting to embrace it as well. Places like Pebble Beach, Pinehurst, Boyne in northern Michigan, and others are actually creating par three courses at their resorts. Turnberry has one too, right at the foot of those famous steps in Scotland. For people who just want to get some extra holes in, or who want to play a little bit, maybe want to play barefoot, maybe want to carry a glass of scotch with them when they're going around, and they don't have time, or you know, they yes. just want to play like that. And the word is play, and that's what it feels like again, to play.
Yes, you're out playing, having fun, enjoying yourself, not worrying about whether or not you broke 100.
Yeah, but you can't break 100 on a par 3 course. It's really wrong.
See, there you go. Now, in your column, where can we find this again? Say the place. Where is it?
It's at goworldtravel.com.
Goworldtravel.com. Goworldtravel.com. Okay. All right. So you got to read this because the characters that you are playing with, Michael Patrick, how did you meet? Let me see. How did you meet? Tom, is it? No. Pump Tom, and Sewer Restaurants operated by the family. There's Paul, right? And then there's Dan. Paul and Dan, these are your new playing partners.
It's Maxfield Vanderpump, who's the son of Lisa Vanderpump. And if you watch the Vanderpump Rules show, every once in a while he shows up on that show. And he's a young guy with an English accent who was raised in Wisconsin, go figure.
Okay.
But Paul is one of the regulars at Dan Tana's, the kind of celebrity hangout restaurant in Hollywood, and they both love golf, but they have never played on a regulation course. They play par three. Now, they're working up towards it, mind you, but to play with the two of them is like playing it with kids again, because they're fascinated by everything, and they shine up their clubs after every hole, and they come with all the gear. You know, it looks like they're going to play on the tour, and they're going to play par three courses around here in Los Angeles. And so we've just been having a real hit and giggle of it all. And, you know, every shot is a chance for a hole in one when you play a par three course. And so we put a little money on it, not a lot, just a little. And we go around, and I carry three clubs in my hand. All I need, you know, a 6-iron, 9-iron, and a putter. And we have a standing game every week. And if one of us makes a hole-in-one, the others have to give them $100. Otherwise, we play for a Finscaroo, just $5. And it's really, really fun. There are some par three courses here. Los Feliz is one of them. Weddington we played. Unfortunately, they just closed it down to build a training ground for the Olympics. And Rancho Park. And so that's what we've been doing lately, and it makes for some severe hilarity.
Yes. Now, there's some, you know, a little bit of temperament involved between these two guys. You seem to be the observer.
I don't know. You know, the way that men tend to show affection is by giving each other stick. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In order to be reverent, you have to be irreverent. And so they like to rip on each other all the time. And I call Paul the commissioner because he comes up with all the different little games that we play. And he decided that if anyone hits the flag stick, the others have to give them $25. And I said, commissioner, what if we can't tell for sure if you hit? Oh, well, no problem. Well, when about four holes into the first day of that, there was a dispute over whether Max hit the flag stick or not, and it turned into, you know, kind of like the investigation of the Kennedy assassination with the silver bullet, the Pruder film, and it turned into like a five-hole argument. So, but it was all in good fun. But that's what I talk about in the article, which is more like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm than a golf article.
Well, no, it's wonderful that, you know, next time I'm going to bring a camera with me.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're going to have instant replay at par three golf?
You can see.
After further review, the shot did not hit the flag stick.
You just don't want to pay me.
Yeah, that was it. $5 or $25 or whatever, but...
Well, this is absolutely fabulous. I mean,
thanks.
And the, where did you meet them? Have you known them for a long time?
No, I met them by, you remember that book I wrote called Invite Yourself to the Party?
Yes.
Well, it really works. I started visiting Dan Tana's restaurant on a somewhat daily basis. And if you just show up and you hang around, you meet people. And if you listen and you're willing to be friendly, they introduce you to people. And that's what's been happening to me here in Hollywood. It's very surprising when I moved here how quickly I could make friends and meet truly interesting people and have some good fun with it. Did I tell you about Cindy Crawford?
No. Tell us.
You know who that
is, right?
Cindy Crawford.
No.
I know you have limited time, but I met a woman who was the casting director for The Godfather. I met her at Polo Lounge. She's 82 years old, and we became fast friends, and she was a super agent. And this is, if you've ever seen the movie Sunset Boulevard, it's kind of like that. It's a, you know, the Norma Desmond in her old age, wanting to be relevant with the young writer. Mm. And, you know, so I would visit her often, and we would go out and this and that. And one day she told me, I've got to go to dinner tomorrow down at Giorgio Baldi. I said, Giorgio Baldi, how are you going to get there? I'll take an Uber, I guess. I said, that's all the way down by Malibu. What are you going down there for? She said, I'm having dinner with Cindy Crawford. I said, I'll drive you.
Wow, that is so smart.
And she started laughing.
Move.
She knew, oh, yeah, okay, all of a sudden you'll drive me. I said, can I meet her? She says, I'll call Cindy. So she calls Cindy, and she says, Cindy would be delighted to say hello when you drive. I said, okay. So... again, I invited myself to the party, right?
Right.
And this is a true travel tattler story. So I drive Andrea down to Malibu the whole way there. We get there. And as I'm parking the car, she slips into the restaurant ahead of me. So I said to the valets, where did she go? They said, she went in the side door. So I go in the side door, and it's dark in there. And I'm like, where are they in this little restaurant? And all of a sudden... I see a big, tall arm swaying and waving at me from the back corner of the restaurant. And I said, oh, there's someone trying to get my attention. Or that, dear God, that's Cindy Crawford. You know, Cindy Crawford was trying to get my attention by signaling me from across the room.
Every man's dream.
The universe turned upside down for just a moment there. And I just had to laugh.
She must be a wonderful person.
I should have blown her off. That would have been a better way to go. No, of course I raced over there. Yeah, she was very, very sweet.
Very sweet. You're such a monster. So where are you off to next?
I'm going to Michigan for the Senior PGA Championship by KitchenAid at Harbor Shores. It was the last time they're going to have it at that venue designed by Jack Nicklaus. And then I'll be on Mackinac Island for a big policy conference broadcast. And I'm going to try to work in San Francisco for the first time very soon. Believe it or not, I've never spent any time in the city. It's somewhat controversial now. But the only time I've ever been to San Francisco is to land at the airport and drive to, guess where?
You're kidding.
Pebble Beach.
That's the only time you've spent, you've never been in San Francisco?
Nope. I went to Pebble Beach, and then the other time I got to San Francisco, drove over the Golden Gate, went up to wine country.
Wow.
So I want to go see what's going on up there, and I'm curious. So that's on my list coming up soon, too.
What is this policy conference? It sounds like the PIF versus PGA.
Oh, isn't that terrible, too? See, just forget all that and play par three and, you know, now you hear Tiger's having a feud with Rory McIlroy. Sometimes I wonder if it's all just, you know, to gin up interest, don't you?
They need to do a lot more than, you know, that to gin up interest. They, you know, like, I don't know, do it, put on a show when they're playing golf. I'm bad. They, you know, golf isn't necessarily a show, but it's entertainment. They got to entertain in addition to being really good.
Well,
I'm a monster.
That's a good point. You know, remember how much fun the Champions Tour was when it first came out?
Yes.
They weren't all robots. They were colorful guys.
Exactly.
Like Craig Stadler and, you know.
Arnold Palmer.
Fred Couples.
All those guys.
Yeah, Gigi Rodriguez and Lee Trevino.
Yes, you could follow them down they would talk to one another and they would tease each other and they would make jokes about each other and it was amazing following them on the golf course. Yes.
Well, Hawaii had such a starring role during those Skins games every Thanksgiving too, when they would really have at each other with Gary Player and the rest. Yeah.
You're going to have to call in from Michigan from the Champions Tour that you're going to be at. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm. It's always an honor
to
talk to you.
Thank you.
To monopolize your... By the way, we did an hour on the radio on my program with Bob Bubka recently, and I know you talk to him all the time.
He's a wonderful person.
You have a limited time with him, but we wanted to talk about him for an hour, and he was a fine guest. You can hear it if you want at mibigshow.com. It's podcasted there, but if you want to know more about Bob Bubka, get a little investigation.
Are you trying to do his voice? You're such...
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
God, he's got pipes.
Okay, my next guest is waiting, so I must go.
Okay, sorry. I overstayed.
No, you didn't overstay anything. Michael Patrick Shields hosts Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire. Can't wait to talk to you when you're at the Champions event, okay? Fun.
Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha. Coming back, Karen Palacios Jensen. She's going to work on our grip, and boy, do I need help. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now. Got a shutterbug in your life? Pro Camera Hawaii has just what you need. Pro Camera has lots of holiday specials for you. Your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special order for your hard-to-find items. Pro Camera Hawaii, we know cameras. From digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates. Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Now at Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Karen Palacios Jensen, CardioGolf.com is where you'll find her, and she is the LPGA Master Teaching Professional you'll want to learn from. Lead instructor for Golf Channel, Golf Digest Top 50 Best Golf Fitness Trainer, the only LPGA professional on the list. On Facebook, you can find her at Cardio Golf, Master LPGA Professional, NASM Certified Personal Trainer. Karen Palacios Jensen, you're amazing. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, thanks for that introduction, and I always appreciate all the accolades that you give me.
Well, you
can go everywhere and introduce me, okay?
Okay, I'll follow you, and then you'll teach me my grip, because you know, what is the most vulnerable part of your golf swing, if you ask Danielle? it's my grip because I'm a natural five finger gripper. You know, it just does. I don't know that's a good thing. But whatever I do, I never feel confident that I have my fingers around the grip in the correct way. Is that, you know, nuts or what?
Well, so I would say typically the first thing that I have to help people with when they're a new student is their grip. I mean, you just can't put your hands on any old way because your hands are the only connection. And it is awkward. It's round. It doesn't seem, it seems like your thumbs should go straight down, but they actually go to the side, depending if you're right or left-handed. The grip needs to be more in the fingers. The grip determines your club face position at impact. So your big muscles, your core, your weight shift, that determines the power in your swing. But the micro muscles, your hands, your arms, your forearms, that would determine the direction of the club face at impact. So if your grip is not correct, there's actually a saying in golf instruction, if you have a bad grip, you don't want a good golf swing. Because if you have a bad grip, you need to make compensations to get that club face back to square. So I try to get people to have what we call a neutral grip, and then their athleticism can take over a little bit.
A neutral grip. What would be can you describe that? I know it's hard on the
ear. Sure. If you're a right-handed golfer, start with your left hand. When you're looking down at your hand, there should be some wrinkles in the back of your wrist.
Yeah.
You should be able to see two knuckles of your hand, and the little V that the thumb and forefinger form point to the right side of your face if you're a right-handed golfer, opposite for left.
Okay.
And then so the easiest way to teach the grip is how we teach juniors. Then your thumb of your left hand is like the hot dog and your right hand is like the bun, and then you're just going to cover your hot dog with your bun and your right hand puts on naturally to match your left hand.
That's wonderful.
Right. So you don't want your hot dog peeking out of the bun or flipping to the side or anything like that. So your hands are secure.
That is perfect. I mean, for children, it's, you know, for all of us who are, you know, in that stage of, gosh, you know, I could be better at this game. But I feel like when I have my grip and then I put my club down and I'm not sure that the club face is in the right position, you know, it's just, I can hit the ball, but it could probably be better than what I'm doing because I'm not
right.
Confident.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So when I used to do junior golf camps, and we literally would have an hour session where we just worked on putting our hands on the club. And then lining the club up behind the ball, making sure that the leading edge is square, that your hands match your club face, that you're parallel. I mean, super basic, but super important. A lot of people don't practice their grip. So one of the best ways to practice your grip is away from the golf course. That's why I have that little shorty club that you always talk about. It's short because you're not hitting balls and you can swing inside, but if you put your hands on that club every day and practice your grip, then when you went to go play, you wouldn't have to think about, oh, where is my thumb going? Where is my hand going? If you go, you know, a week or two or a month without hitting any balls, then you got to figure out your grip every time.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of us don't have time to go out more than that. You know, it's just life is it. What about grip tension? I mean, how, that's another thing. How much am I supposed to grip?
Yeah. Right. So when you hold the club, if you lift the club up above the ground, the club head should feel heavy. If the club head feels light, it's because you're gripping it too tight. And when you grip it too tightly, it doesn't allow you to hinge your wrist. It doesn't allow you to make a free turn. So what happens with a lot of higher handicappers, we're probably not as strong as the professional golfers. So we have to grip it tighter than they do. So anything that you can do, Danielle, to get your grip pressure, your grip strength better is going to help you with a lighter grip. And when you have a lighter grip, it's easier to hinge the club. It's easier to rotate the face. You can swing more freely. When you're tight, gripping it super tight, you're going to not be able to turn as well. So grip tension is a really big deal. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 super tight and 1 is loose, your grip pressure should be about a 4 or 5.
Wow. Okay. And I, you know, I'm probably, a lot, me and a lot of other people are probably holding on for dear life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so one of the things people tell me is that I grip it tightly because at the moment of impact, the club is twisting in my hand. Well, it's not twisting in your hand because you're holding it too lightly. It's twisting because you're not hitting the ball in the center of the face. When you hit in the center of the face, that's why they call it the sweet spot, and there's no, it feels, you know, like butter. There's no twisting. When you hit it off the toe or the heel, the, at 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, the ball crashing into the club face makes the club twist. Well, it's not because you weren't gripping it tightly enough. It was because you didn't hit the ball in the center of the face. So that's something that we have to address.
That's perfect. I, you know, you make me want to go out and grab a club and get, start hitting balls in the in,
right.
with all
one
these.
The thing,
yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, one of the things, you know, to get power, of course, you want to have club head speed. But one of the things to get some more power without changing your swing is just hitting the ball in the sweet spot. The sweet spot is, you know, nowadays the club face is a little bit bigger, but for every quarter of an inch you hit the ball outside the sweet spot, you lose 10 yards of distance. So a quarter of an inch is like the size of your thumbnail. So if you're hitting it off the toe, you're losing 20, 30, 40 yards of distance.
Yeah, and it's probably not going in the direction you really want it to go in, is it?
Exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So how are the, you know, the wrists and the forearms, how do they work in a golf swing?
Well, so not to be super technical, but they extend and flex. They ulna deviate and radiate. They pronate and supinate. So you have to have, you know, good grip strength. You're basically rotating the club face open on the backswing, and then you're rotating it closed back on the follow through. So if you're trying to keep the club face pointed at the ball the whole time, you're not going to get the ball up in the air. So you have to have some forearm rotation, a really good exercise to help you with this image and your strength is to hold a book like it's the club face, and you're going to open the book on the backswing and then close it back down on the follow through. And so if you come through and the book cover is facing up to the sky, then you're gonna hit a right shot if you're right-handed. If you come down and the book cover is facing the floor, you're gonna smother it and hit a left shot. So you want to come back with the club face square, pointing to the target.
Fabulous. Now, with the shorty club, could I do some of this practice indoors?
Absolutely. So the shorty club, as you know, it's short so that you can swing inside. You're not going to hit the ceilings or the walls. The club head is closer to the hand. So when you do make a swing and stop at impact, it's easier to see your club face matching your hands than all the way down at the floor. So, it's great to practice. You know, you keep it in your office, at home. You grab it while you're, you know, waiting for something to download, or you're on a call, on hold or whatever, and you just grip it and you hold the club, and then that way it becomes more automatic, so when you do go practice and play, you don't have to think about it.
That's great. Now, is there a way to practice squaring the club face without hitting golf balls?
Yeah, so I on the edge of your of a table or the back of your couch, you imagine that leading edge is like the ball, and then you're going to practice swinging back and coming back to impact with a shorty club. It's easier because the club face is closer to your hands. And you're literally practicing learning how to rotate your forearms and lead with your hands to make sure that leading edge is square at impact. If you come through and you stop and the club face is pointed to the sky, that's a right shot. If you flip it too quickly, you're going to get the left shot. If you pull in, you're going to top it. If you overextend, you're going to chunk it. So you can practice coming back to the same spot over and over again. And think about it. If you did that without a ball, then your body would feel more comfortable when you actually get the ball in front of you.
Really good point, because sometimes the ball is like your enemy.
Right. The ball tends to own us.
Yes, that's a nicer way of putting it. I'm talking right now with Karen Palacios Jensen. You can find her at cardiogolf.com, and you can get the Shorty Club there too. But when I Googled Shorty Club before the show, it's also on Amazon.
Oh, okay, yeah, it could be. Amazon go over everything.
Yes. So at cardiogolf.com, there's the programs that Karen Palacios Jensen has, Cardio Golf Online Studio, golf lessons, a weekly workout, and all of your workouts, they are golf specific.
Correct, yeah. So if you don't know what to do, just go on Monday and I'll take you through a pre-round warm-up routine. I'll take you through an upper body workout, lower body workout, all for golf. Some are more intense. If you're just starting out, you want to do the low impact. If you're a little bit more advanced, you can do a couple of rounds of each workout. So there's something for everybody. But yes, they're all specific to golf.
Great. That's, everything all in one. You learn, you get in shape, it's fabulous, and you feel much more confident over that ball that owns us. On the decapitating mushrooms department.
I was just at Quail Hollow on Thursday, and they literally have one guy out there with this, little sweeper thing, and his job is just to, save the mushrooms out of the fairway and the rough. Those little mushrooms that pop up because it's been raining a lot.
Yeah. I had no idea that mushrooms would be an issue for a golf course superintendent. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And there's a guy, he gets paid to decapitate.
Go cut all those little heads off. We can't take that. It's going to confuse people. All right. Karen, is there anything else that you wanted to bring to the table that I didn't give you a chance to?
No, I just, you can start a free trial at cardiogolf.com if you want to check out my stuff. And anybody that wants to follow me on Instagram, I'm on Cardio Golf. I give a little tips there. I'm an ex. So I try to throw little tidbits out there and help people with their game as much as possible.
You mean X, formerly known as Twitter?
Right, exactly.
It's gotten so confusing. Oh, Karen Palacios Jensen, thank you so much. I feel like, I know what I should be doing whenever I talk to you. Karen Palacios Jensen, LPGA Master Teaching Professional, Cardio Golf and Cardio Golf TV creator. She's lead instructor for Golf Channel, Golf Digest Top 50 Best Golf Fitness Trainers. Only LPGA professional on that list. You can find her at Cardio Golf on Facebook as well. Go check out, please. Karen Palacios Jensen will help your game. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'll talk to you
next month.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to.
Right, wonderful. Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back right after this. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, is joining us. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Riding Mower Blowout Sale. Yep. Tired of limping along with your old box store riding mower? Now is the time to upgrade to a quality rider at Aloha Power's Riding Mower Blowout Sale. We have 35 models in stock at the lowest prices of the year. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider we sell. Trade-ins are welcome. From home to commercial size, mow it, blow it, bag it. Let your equipment do the work faster and smarter, so get yours today. At Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station in Waipahu. You're on Farrington Highway. You're going westbound. You're going Evabound direction. You get to Waipahu Depot Street, and there's a left turn to make, and you'll see them right there. They're just about on the corner. That's Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. And tell them Danielle sent you.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brusseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time ASPGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or book with him at waileagolf.com. That's 808-856-9458. Have more fun and stop paying for lunches.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we don't want to pay for lunches. We'll share. All right, we've got some tea times for you today. And yes, before I do the tea times, you should know that there is a flood watch through this evening for all Hawaii islands. Okay, it's going to be cloudy with some showers and isolated thunderstorms in places. The high today between 80 and 85, and the winds are variable, 5 to 15. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. It's really hot. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, mainly on Kauai. Showers and isolated thunderstorms on Oahu and Maui County also possible. The low between 68 and 73, and again, the variable winds 5 to 15. I'm going to cover Hawaii Island. There's a flood watch through this evening. Wind advisory until 6 p.m. this evening for Big Island Summits. There's a winter weather advisory until 6 p.m. this evening for Big Island Summits. It's always winter at the top of those peaks. It's going to be cloudy, showers and isolated thunderstorms, highs 80 to 85, variable winds 5 to 15. You just never know. It's sunny right now in downtown Honolulu, but then again on the windward side or up North Shore, it could be pouring rain, you know, an inch an hour like we had overnight. So a lot going on today to be aware of. But it's a beautiful day. You can get out and play. And at Makalei on the Big Island, there's a 9 o'clock and a 10:08. At Volcano Golf Club, there's a 9:10 and a 10:48. On Kauai, where the Memphis Blues, do you remember? Memphis Blues are going out at Poipu. There's also an 8:50 and a 9:40. And Kauai Lagoons, there's a 10:36 and an 11:30. And Kuakuiula, there's a 10:10. And then we've got on Oahu, Turtle Bay, lovely Turtle Bay, 8:40, 9:56, 11:20. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, there's an 8:52, a 10 o'clock, and an 11:10. That's like two different golf courses. One is wide open. The other is like going into Jurassic Park. And Eva Beach Golf Course, 9:12 and 10:28. Bayview has an 8:36. And at Wailea, Gold Course, 9:20 and a 10:10. Emerald Course, 9:30 and a 9:50. Blue Course, yes, this makes sense. Blue Course has an 8:40 and a 9:30. And Maui Police are heading out to play golf today on the Blue Course. Maui Nui has an 8:56 and the 10:48 and the 11:20 that you might be able to pick up. And we've got Alvin Okumura going out and Edward Butardo. Both those groups are heading out on the golf course today. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Now we have, because, you know, it's Mother's Day weekend. It's Mother's Day weekend. What could we do? How about giving away two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay on Kauai? How about that? All you have to be is the ninth caller, just ninth caller. And the number to call is 808 five. Okay, all of a sudden, I've forgotten the number. 808-545-1111. It's a good thing Nani put up her nine. Five, Danielle. Right, say five and I can go. That's 808-545-1111, and you'll win two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay if you're the ninth caller. KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
All right, and let's bring him into the clubhouse. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, author, Vision 54, the trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including Play Your Best Golf Now, and a member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Oh, you know, I got to talk to you. I know you've been out on the golf course today. May I ask, did you have fun?
We don't quite have the balmy springs here that we would like on Outer Cape Cod, but we had a good day. I have my usual Saturday morning group, and we had fun time playing.
That's great. And that's the most important thing. You know, we're talking about playing golf. The most important thing is that you're having fun. Don't take it too seriously. If you're off, you're off. It's not a big deal. You'll be back on the next time. Judy Rankin on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, happy to see Beth Daniel and Pat Bradley honored at the Cognizant LPGA event in New Jersey. Both so deserving and extraordinary players. Love them and congrats. And this is all a part of the Founders Cup. Everybody is being celebrated.
Yeah, you know, Founders Cup is really... Mike Wong, when he was commissioner, stumbled upon something really good. The idea was first originally to acknowledge the 13 women who founded the LPGA, and there were, at that time, several of them were still alive, and they were able to honor them there. And now it's morphed into being where they recognize the pioneers in the game, those legends in the game, the players who helped build the LPGA into what it is today, and certainly Beth Daniel and Pat Bradley are two of them. They're both in the World Golf Hall of Fame. Pat Bradley won three majors in 1 year. Beth Daniel is a two-time U.S. Women's Amateur Champion, probably on maybe the greatest women's college golf team of all time, Furman College in 1976. She and Betsy King were on the same college golf team. Sherry Turner was also on that team, an LPGA player. So it's really good to see that they are able to use the Founders Cup as a vehicle to recognize all those players who built on what the foundation that the founders laid.
Yes, exactly. And to celebrate them and all the things they did, because golf is particularly when they were playing it. I mean, the rewards, the travel, driving in cars together across country. Can you give us some descriptions of what it was like to be on the road as an LPGA player, let's say 40 years ago, 30 years ago?
Yeah, you know, as one veteran caddy once said to me, he said, you know, I used to put 50,000 miles on my car every year. Now I get 75,000 frequent flyer miles. And that's the difference, you know. I mean, now it's a global tour. They're traveling all over the world. But there was a time, you know, not all that long ago, into the 80s and the 90s, when there were five stops in Ohio. There were three stops in New York. There, you know, they could do these little geographic loops and essentially drive from tournament to tournament. And quite frankly, if you weren't finishing in the top 10, maybe top 20, you were losing money. And they would figure out all the ways that they could to share money, to share expenses, to make it easier on themselves. Rosie Jones, one of my favorite players out there, her rookie year was about 81, 82. She told me a wonderful story about how on Sunday night after a tournament was over, they all had their cars there, and they'd get a bunch of cars, and they'd form them into a circle, and they turned the radio station to the same station, and they'd have dance parties. You know, they'd crack out some beers and drink some beers and dance. You know, and they were really in it together. You know?
Yes.
And they really had that feeling that yeah, they were competing against each other, but they were all in it together to make the LPGA a viable athletic organization.
Amazing. Comrades, you know? I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard, not making any money if you're not in the top 20. But somebody did a breakdown on today's, income versus expenditures for one of the players. And, it looked like at the end of the day, if she made, X number of dollars, she walked away with maybe 1% of that money because everything else is cost of airplane tickets, room and board, wherever you're staying, hotels, on and on, getting a car. It's just it's a very expensive undertaking. And I think the purses have gotten better, but they don't cover everything.
Yeah, paying your caddy, that's a big expense for them out there too. I mean, yeah, and I did this story, and this was a long time ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago. I did a story, and at that time, it was about $80,000-$90,000 a year in expenses to be on tour. I'm sure it's like probably at least 50% higher than that now, but just to travel around. Just to be out there. So you got to make, you've got to be making over six figures a year just to break even.
Wow.
And also the other thing that, the women have never really had the same endorsement deals that the men have had. They have not gotten the corporate support. It's one of the advantages that a lot of the Asian players, Korea, Japan, China, Taiwan, Thailand, the corporations that really support their women golfers.
Wow.
Really, I mean, you look at any of the Korean players, they got 6-7 logos on them. They get a lot more support. And I would like to be seeing corporate America lining behind women golfers more. And I'm hoping that, what Nellie Court is doing right now, the fact that what Caitlin Clark did in basketball has put women's sports on a front burner and has got people paying attention to it. And I'm seeing Caitlin Clark appearing in a zillion TV commercials now. I'm hoping the corporations start to realize the top women golfers can be used in the same way.
Absolutely. I mean, Nellie Korda's pursuit of six,
yep.
It's the story of the year, frankly. She's done something nobody else has done.
Yeah, I was there. I missed Nancy won five in a row in 1978, and I wasn't there for that, but I was around when Annika Sorenstam won five in a row, and I was at the event in Kings Mill when she was trying for her sixth, and she didn't get it. And the way the pressure grows is significant. If you look at Nelly this week, because they're playing in New Jersey, they're in the New York City media market, which is a great place for the LPGA to be when history is on the table here. But, she went to the Met Gala. She was on the Today Show. There are all these other demands, and that's what makes it hard to continue to build on your success that way, because you get all these other demands off the golf course, and the demands that can be financially lucrative to the player, and demands that are really, really important to the LPGA in terms of giving it a public relations boost.
Yeah.
But right now, Nelly is finding out that when you win five tournaments in a row, all of a sudden, everybody's paying attention to you.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at the leaderboard right now, and Rose Zhang was not having the best year, and now she's 14 under par. And Madeline Sagstrom has come on really strong. She's 13 under par. And Nellie Korda is 8 under par. The next 7, 6, 6, 6, 6. We've got like a load. Mel Reed, Jihin Im, Siyoung Kim, Peiyoung Chen. I'm not going to pronounce her name right. She's from China. Ziyu Lin. And I believe Natalia Guseva is, they're all 6 under. I mean, this is huge tied for fifth group. And Gabriella Ruffles is 7 under and in fourth position at this time. It's it's going to be something for Nelly to be able to work her way up into and getting those. You know, I'm not sure what they're doing right now. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but it's.
Well, they pretty much just started out, and I know Nelly bogeyed the first hole. She started with eight four strokes behind Sagstrom and Rose Zhang.
Okay,
and that's she put herself. She's in perfect position because four back. Is a lot more doable when there's only two players in front of you.
Okay.
You know, if you're four back and there's 10 players in front of you, it's harder to pass everybody. But with only two in front of you, she just needs, you know, if one of them makes a mistake or she runs off a few birdies, she's right back in it. So she's done, you know, the key to winning is to give yourself a chance to win, and she's given herself a chance to win. I would have to think for the LPGA to have Rose Zhang and, I mean, if they could have a Rose Zhang Nelly Korda final twosome tomorrow, that would be ideal for them because Rose is has that potential to be the next big star on tour. You know, she last year she turned pro in June and she won the very first tournament she played as a professional, and that hadn't been done in 70 years on the LPGA. Nelly is Nelly. That would be that they've really got the two. Two of the names at the top of the leaderboard that they want to have up there. And Nelly is by far not out of it. And if she can go into Sunday's round two, three, four strokes back, then she's got a real chance to win the tournament.
Absolutely. Rose had a 63-68. I mean, 63. Yeah. Madeline, 65-66. Nelly, 69-66. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I'm not ruling her out by any stretch of the imagination, but I look at the challenges that are ahead, and seeing her at the Met Gala, she's stunning. She's a beautiful woman.
I'm not sure I would have recognized her if I wasn't told that was her.
Exactly. Just absolutely stunning. And she presents herself so beautifully. It doesn't make any sense at all to me why corporations wouldn't be putting, it's particularly in today's PGA Tour world where there's more controversy than there is, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, let's get with it, guys, because these women.
No, there's a real opportunity here for the LPGA. And I do think, you know, part of the I was fascinated by the Caitlin Clark phenomenon in women's college basketball and the attention she got, and the fact that she was smashing the men in college basketball in the TV ratings on there. And I started to think, you know, we got the second generation of Title IX babies out there. There's women who are being raised by moms who played college sports. So all of a sudden, they're getting a lot of support and encouragement at home to be athletes. I didn't, you know, when I was in high school and I was in college, that wasn't true for women athletes. They weren't getting that encouragement at home to play. And now what you're having is you've got dad is taking his daughter, his young daughter, to golf practice, to soccer practice, to lacrosse practice, to basketball practice. All of a sudden, for a man to be a fan of women's sports is becoming okay because they're rooting for their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that dads are out there taking their daughters, young daughters, to play in all these athletic events has put women's sports on their radar screen, and they're starting to become fans of it. I think that there's really an important turning point here where people are starting to realize that the entertainment value of women's sports is way, way higher than they've given it credit for being for several years now.
Couldn't agree with you more. And you know, it's terrific to see them taking it all on. What are they doing at the commissioner's level to, you know, try to get more sponsors putting in more money into the pot?
Yeah, you know, it's tough for the LPGA that you know, they probably turn over about half their title sponsors every year. They get very few. It's one of the reasons when the ANA Inspiration, the first major of the year, moved to Houston and became the Chevron Championship. Yeah, it was sad that they left Mission Hills where they'd been for 50 years, but Chevron gave them a six-year deal, and they just extended more on the deal, and they raised the prize money. And that, you know, that's a six-year contract for an LPGA title sponsor is extremely rare. You get those on the PGA Tour. You don't get them on the LPGA. But they are starting to break through that way.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I do think that, you know, the LIV Golf situation has created enough uncertainty around what's ahead for the PGA Tour that they've lost several big sponsors on the PGA Tour this year. Farmers Insurance, Wells Fargo, Honda have left, and I think it's because there's uncertainty about exactly which players are you going to have next year. Is you know, John Rahm leaving hurt them?
Yes.
And I think that LPGA is going to be able to offer up a more stable product. Here are players, you know, and get behind them. And also, a corporation, one of the reasons that those corporations I mentioned left the men's tour, their weekly nut to carry a tournament jumped from $10 million a year to $20 million.
Crazy.
And you could get involved in the LPGA for a third of that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so it's a much more, and I think, honestly, having worked in this business for a long time, the athletes are easier to deal with, you know, because the women, when they see a reporter, they run towards the reporter, not away from the reporter. They run towards the TV camera, not away from the TV camera. They want the exposure. They want the attention.
Yeah, they want the interaction. They
yep.
Right.
And yes. Honestly, the money. You know,
well,
they know that if they do their job to promote the product, it'll come back to them in terms of increased prize money.
Yeah, and there's stability at the LPGA. There's not stability at the PGA Tour, the way things are. And there's more talk about controversy between players, between the agencies, then there is talk about great play. The question is, this is exciting anymore? Not as exciting as the LPGA, frankly, right now. You know, it's just not. So it'll be very interesting to see how things go, and I'm really excited for the LPGA, and I'm really excited for Nellie Korda, and her success going for number six is awesome. And I thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. We have talked ourselves right into the end of the show. Isn't that wonderful? I miss you all the time. Thank you. Are you still there? I think I've lost Ron. Okay. Is he still on the line?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, sometimes, you know, the celestial event that's going on, creating the most incredible aurora lights, is is frying things here on Earth. And it'll be just fine. We'll all be fine. I want to thank all the people who make this show possible. It's Aloha Power's Riding Mower Blowout Sale. If you're tired of limping along with your old box store riding mower, now is the time to upgrade to a quality rider at Aloha Power's Riding Mower Blowout Sale. We have 35 models in stock at the lowest prices of the year. We have service, we have parts, we have accessories for every rider we sell. Trade-ins, welcome. From home to commercial-sized, mow it, blow it, bag it. Let your equipment do the work. It's faster and it's smarter. Get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. We have a winner. We have a winner, and I just was curious, Nani, do we have the name of the winner?
Jason from Pearl City.
Jason from Pearl City, congratulations. Yay, you're going to go play at Poipu Bay. That is so awesome. And we wanted to give away another round at Volcano. We're going to do that next week. Actually, next week we're going to be at Mid-Pacific Country Club. And that's where, of course, the Jenny K is being played. All the women coming together. It's a fabulous tournament. Thank you, Pro Camera Hawaii. Quality cameras to capture the memories, and their staff will help you find exactly which one you need. Or maybe you don't know which one to give to a friend. A gift card's possible. They're in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center. We've got Honolulu Sign Company to thank, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. You know, if people can't find you unless you're branded. You need to have something that attracts people's eyes and it stays with them. That's what branding is all about. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play the game of golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. The self help, health, friendship for self, for health, for friendship. Go golf. Get out there and have a good time. And I just want to thank the Hawaii Bicycling League. They're replacing the damaged and missing traffic delineators on the Diamond Head side of Ward Avenue that's protected the bike lane between South King and Oahu Street. So they're out there working, and thank you so much. The city is grateful to the members of the HBL for volunteering their time. It's awesome. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.